A badge of honor. Police officers and first responders wear badges to let their communities know they are here to protect and serve. But that's not how it feels today. And the stress of the job is taking its toll, taking lives through suicide and post-traumatic stress injury. A Badge of Honor podcast features the cast of the same name, Sam Horwitz and John Salerno. Sam, John, and the team offer the first responders workshops through their critical incident stress management teams and mental health liaisons to offer state-certified TCOL credit programs that save lives. It's time to smash through the stigma. It's time to heal from your injury, and it's time to back our blue. Welcome to a Badge of Honor podcast. Here are your hosts, Sam Horwitz and John Salerno.
Hey, hey, everybody. Welcome to a Badge of Honor podcast with Sam and John. We are trying to get John on, just having a little bit of technical difficulties, and he should be with us momentarily. But welcome. Happy Monday, everybody. We are just off an amazing workshop. For those of you, if you're just tuning in, we do an 8-hour workshop with, we just had members of three different departments. There he is. Hey, hey, Parker, you are on. We can see you. Yay. You are not alone. I am not alone. Nobody is alone.
Man, it's kind of weird. I don't know what the hell is wrong with my computer, but I never had an issue like that before.
Okay, well, see, the gremlins are out because it's a beautiful Monday here in Texas. We are not being scorched by the heat. Praise God. But yeah, John, I was just telling everybody about our workshop, and we had three different agencies. It was 8 hours long, and we talk about post-traumatic stress awareness, preventing suicide, because suicide still is the number one killer in our law enforcement community. And we need to put an end to it. We need to smash the stigma surrounding asking for help when it comes to our mental health. And we need to actively engage and change the way that our leaders look at mental health assistance for their men and women. And you know, as we talked about, sometimes change comes from the bottom up, and the more first responders, John, that you, me, John Edmondson, and Jeff get to work with, that's what they're taking back to their agencies, back to their brain health coordinators, to say, hey, this was great. This is what I learned. Everybody needs to do this. And so we just want to give a shout out to everybody who attended. And we appreciated your feedback, because we get better with your feedback. And it was just a stellar, stellar Friday afternoon spent.
I am so upset I had to miss it. But you know, work is work. And you know, once again, you know, Badge of Honor, the team, we do this on our own time. We all have 40-hour jobs. We all work, but you know what? We still try to make the time. And sometimes we, you know, our bosses at our other jobs will not allow the time off. But, you know, we all try to dedicate as much time as we can and work our schedules to give the best mental health advocacy as we can in all our times, you know.
Yeah. And you know, our guest tonight, he has done a phenomenal job at 30 years as a law enforcement officer. And what he has, the shifts that he's made, because we all talk about, you do a fantastic part of the presentation about the music stopping and what happens after retirement. And, so our guest, John Kelly, he's a law enforcement life coach. We'll bring him on in a second. He's written a fantastic book. We'll talk about it, but more importantly, he's up and in front of and working with our men and women who are putting their lives on the line, who answer the call no matter what, every single day for us, and really teaching the tactical stuff that you need while you're still in, so that when life changes afterwards, right, you can make that transition successfully.
You know, Sam, the term life coach, mm-hmm. Okay? And after looking at John's website, I used to have this stigma, and when we place stigmas on different things, right? So when someone hears the word life coach, they're like, oh my God, life coach, you know, you couldn't think of anything better to do with your life. But looking at his website, he has really changed the term life coach. You know, when you hear the word life coach, a lot of people just think of a fly-by-night, somebody who's going to try to talk to you. His website really changed my outlook on what a life coach really is. He brings the true meaning to getting those coping mechanisms together and getting yourself prepared for retirement before you get to retirement. And I think everybody needs that.
Yeah, like capital LIFE. So without further ado, everybody, please welcome John Kelly, law enforcement life coach, to the podcast. Hey, John.
Great to see you both. Great to see you both. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
So I like John, you know, there's a lot of, when you hear the word life coach, there's a lot of myths that are dispelled just by going to your website. First of all, let's just say there are phenomenal life coaches out here. When we're talking about, you know, where we come from and our backgrounds and everything that we've done, there is a time where, you know, the department, your career is going to end, the department, here's your box, you know, yeah. The door hit you and you keep in touch and then it kind of fades away. And like John always says, the job's going to be there no matter what. You've just moved on. And so I think you need to capitalize life in life coach, because what you're doing is phenomenal.
Sam, John, let me just tell you one thing, you know, and this is what I wish the NYPD had this, because my retirement, I was sitting in a wire room, right, listening to the mob, because we were doing undercover work in the mafia, right? And my disability came through. So I'm sitting on a wire listening to these mob guys. My boss comes in, right? He goes, hey, just got called from the medical district. You are now officially retired. You have to get off the wire. So I got off the wire. Yeah. Now we're in an apartment in Queens, right? We're in a second floor apartment. We rented a house, right? So he goes, all right, man, see you later. You can't be here no more. And I'm walking down. Now, this is a place I've been going to for like a year and a half.
Sure.
Now I'm walking down the stairs. All of my teammates are like, see you. Congratulations on retirement. And I'm like walking down the stairs, just like you said, with a friggin' box, walking out to my car. And I'm like, holy crap, I'm not a cop anymore. I just retired. And that's how it was. It was a phone call. Hey, he's not a cop anymore. He's officially retired. Let him go. And I walked out. It was devastating.
Right.
Totally, totally devastating.
What do I do now?
Yeah. I'm driving home going, holy shit, who am I? Mm. What just happened? Yeah. It happened just like that.
Problematic for us if we don't have a plan, isn't it?
Right. You don't expect it.
No, not at all. Not at all. And you know, that's one, you know, talk about life coaching. And I didn't, honestly, when I was wrapping up 30 and I was with my guys in the motor barn, and it was just like having some Cuban coffee, throwing around ideas like, all right, I'm 53. I'm not done. I'm, you know, I believe that when you stop working, you die. Right. So I'm never going to stop adding value, doing something. Right. So one of my guys was like, you know, you can buy stuff on Amazon and like sell it for like $4, like buy it for two. I'm just going like, What are you talking about? You know, and we all started busting each other's chops. And then one of my guys looked over and he said, why don't you do what you've always done? And all right, well, that got my attention, because I've done a lot of things I'm not real proud of. But I go, okay. He goes, well, you've always taken care of us. Why don't you take care of them? Meaning everybody else. And I was like, Scotty, I can do that. Like, I know how to do that. And so that was kind of, well, that was one of those epiphanies. It was like, I'm not selling widgets. I'm not going to another PD. I'm not going to go and work at another agency. I'm going to develop a program that addresses the personal, professional, financial, physical, and mental health of our people. So they can add a life worth living. And so that's kind of, that was the beginning of me sitting down and writing a book and starting a program that I've been really fortunate and blessed. I get to travel around and I put on a program that talks about all those things that you guys talk about that we're trying to normalize, right? We're trying to normalize difficult conversations. So there's no stigma associated with you talking about the things that, you know, you hold deep inside that you don't ever want to discuss. And so, yeah, that was kind of, that was the beginning of it.
Well, John, and you said you had 30 careers, 30 careers. You had one career, 30 years in that career. And you saw a lot from day one. We got to take our first break. We're going to come back. And because we already went 2 feet in, we're already in the deep end. And we're going to talk about early on in that first incident that you write about. We'll be right back, everybody, after this break.
Move freely, America, without medical restrictions or penalty. Without medical freedom legislation in place, our rights and freedoms are one vote away from being dissolved. Move freely, America, with one voice, without fear of retribution, achieving a common goal, medical freedom. We the people make our voices heard by connecting with state legislators and engaging a constitutionally compliant medical bill of rights for all citizens. Individually, change is improbable, but as an aggregate, attainable. It's time to act with one voice. My voice.
And my voice.
And my voice.
And my voice.
To protect our freedom, creating one voice that cannot be ignored. This requires your voice, too. Move Freely, America. Go to movefreelyamerica.org to find a chapter near you. Plug in, donate, and help our legislators defend our God-given rights under the Constitution. Move Freely, America. My voice.
And my voice.
And together with your voice, we're one voice that cannot be ignored. Donate today. Movefreelyamerica.org.
Hey, welcome back to A Badge of Honor with John and Sam and our special guest, life coach, mental health life coach, John Kelly. Welcome back, everybody. Before we left, before we took our first break, we were diving into the deep end, like Sam said, and learning, breaking the stigma from what a life coach is really about and how to transition from a 30, 20, or 10-year career, no matter what you had, out of that lifestyle back into some sort of normalcy. So, John, thank you for sharing so far what you've shared, because it's great information for every first responder to have.
Yeah, this book is, like I said, it's a page turner. You got, I'll say, indoctrinated into the violent side of law enforcement super early. I just want to back up one little bit and say, what made you want to be a cop?
It was a coin toss, really, between that of the military. In 87, I went through OCS in Quantico with the Marine Corps. Was at a military college up in Vermont called Norwich. And so you had the opportunity to get commissioned as a second lieutenant when you were done with school. Or for me, it was either going to be that or law enforcement. And quite honestly, in 88, 89, there wasn't a lot going on around the world. And I was kind of itching to get my hands dirty. So I went, you know, the law enforcement route instead of the military route. And, you know, it's that thing that we all have, right? That deep burning desire to take care of others, to help people that can't protect themselves and to right wrongs. Right. I think that's something we don't sit on the sidelines when somebody's getting bullied, you know, we get involved. And I think there was a lot of that drive going on from an early age.
Absolutely. So when did the incident with the arresting the drug dealer, how soon after did that happen after you joined the force?
So it was months after my release from FTO. And, you know, we were down in South Florida in the early 90s and crack epidemic, everything was rocking and rolling. And I write in the book, you know, because of the frequency of the calls, it actually gave you a false sense of security. Like, because you handled multiple calls every day, you were lulled into this, like, well, this is just another suspicious person. Yeah, I canceled my backup. You know, I did all the things that you should never do, you know, especially as a rookie, right? You don't know what you don't know. And so I made a lot of those classic mistakes. And ultimately, you know, it was a fight for a gun and the whole nine yards. And my walk away, my takeaway from that crazy first violent encounter was that there was so much more for me to learn that, you know, I really needed. I could get my head out of my ass, you know, so I can actually be around for a few more shifts, you know. And so that was, you know, that was like my first realization that this isn't TV. Like, there are people that you've never met that will kill you just because of what you represent, and that I better get serious about what I do and how I do it, or I'm not going to be around long. And the funny thing about it, funny, not funny thing about all of that is, over the course of my career, I've had 3 legitimate attempts on my life over 30 years, all documented, all charged, but none of them came as close to killing me as I did myself.
And yeah, that's go, where I was going to go next.
And you
yeah.
go, what the, how the hell can that, how can you even make that statement, right? And so I spend a lot of time trying to get people to live their lives differently, because my take on PTS and suicide is a little, it's non-traditional. And we spend, I think, too much time trying to pull people out of the water instead mm-hmm. of keeping them from falling in the first place.
Amen.
And so, you know, if we can do that, right? If we can take a very proactive approach to wellness, mental, physical, emotional, spiritual, right? Because we don't talk about God. God forbid we interject anything to do with religion, you know, people kind of look at you sideways. And I think you mentioned from the bottom up in your mm-hmm. program, I truly believe that if we're to change the culture of this thing of ours, it has to start with the troops.
Yep.
Everybody thinks that the next sheriff, the next chief, they're going to be the messiah. They're going to be the guy to come in and right all the wrongs and really turn this thing around. And you know, I worked for 7 sheriffs. You know, one no better than the next. And everybody kept hoping, right? With the new sheriff, things are going to be better. And what we fail to recognize is that we determine the morale. We determine the culture. We determine what's acceptable and unacceptable behavior. And so with that responsibility comes accountability. And mm-hmm. that's one of those things that, you know, cops are funny about, man. We love holding everybody else accountable except ourselves.
And, well, you know, John.
Go ahead, John.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I just want to jump back a little bit where you said to keep the people from, you know, teach our first responders not to fall in the water. And I think that's fantastic. But I think we got to add on to that. We got to teach the guys how to get out of the water if they do fall in.
Right.
You know, because It's inevitable that cops are going to fall in, because they are not going to, until something happens, we are all geared to the, like, it's never going to happen to me. It's not me. I am not that person, until we start falling into that rabbit hole. And usually it's too late to, because nobody has the balls to turn around and says, hey, you're drinking too much. You're doing this. You're acting crazy. Yeah. Nobody has the balls to come up to you and say that. All we say is, you okay? Yeah, I'm fine. Bullshit, you're not fine. There's something wrong, and let's have a deep conversation. Because we know sooner or later someone's going to fall into that water, but they have, and if they're alone, they're going to have to get out of that water by themselves.
Yeah.
And we have to teach them those skills.
100%. Yeah, that's, John, that's, it's multifaceted, right? These challenges that we face. And you're absolutely right. Listen, alcoholic, addict, adulterer, You know, and I joke, that's just the A's, right? We talk about the B's, C's, and D's. We're going to run long on your podcast today, so we won't do that. But, yeah, you know, when everybody in the room is drinking too much, who's going to call you out on your excessive drinking?
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Doesn't happen. It doesn't right. happen. When everybody has an affair or a piece on the side, who's going to call you out on your guma? Nobody. It's not happening. And you know, and this kind of segues, you know, when we talk about the statistics, right? For every bad guy that kills one of us, 2 to 3 of us take our own life. And we know that. That's not, you know, this shouldn't be a shocker, right? We know that. Of those 2 to 3 that take our own lives, half of those are the result of a divorce or a separation. So the question gets turned back on the agency and the individual. What are you doing to ensure, to support, to deepen, to strengthen the relationship between you and your spouse?
Right.
What's the agency doing? You know, I'll ask, you know, in the room, I'll go, when was the last time anybody went to a class where the fundamentals, the takeaways, the class objectives were for you to strengthen your relationship at home or increase your ability to communicate? Silence.
Well, yeah, crickets, right.
That's how we're dying. That support system and structure that we need to face life's challenges is there. We turn a blind eye to it for half a career, and then when things get sideways, the people that we need in our lives to help us through times aren't there. We've shit on them. And so when we need them the most, they're not there. The room gets dark real quick, you know, mm-hmm. and we talk about, we don't emotional intelligence, you know, our egos are our biggest demise. If we could just be this much vulnerable, right? If we could just show this much, you know, take the tough guy shirt off for a second and just be real with each other, I think we could make great strides in all areas of physical, mental, emotional health and wellness for our, you know, this thing of ours.
That is amazing. Hey, if you guys are just tuning in, we've got Boston and New York in the house. I'm like left over here. I'm just like,
yes.
I'm just going to let you guys talk and do the rest of the show. Goodness. It's awesome. We got to take a quick break. We will be right back.
Interested in starting a podcast or TV show? Worried about what you'll say and how to keep it engaging? Think you'd like to be a guest on podcast, radio, or TV shows? Hi, I'm Susan Hamilton, owner and founder of OBBM Network, and I would like to invite you to an OBBM media training to get the tools you need for a relaxed and polished performance you'll be proud to share. Our specialized training techniques include role play, voice training, and everything you need to deliver a confident, clear, and engaging interaction. Go to offbeatbusiness.com. Go to the calendar and register for a training that's convenient for you. Dates available now, 214-714-0495.
Hey, welcome back to A Badge of Honor podcast with John and Sam, with our special guest, mental health life coach, John Kelly, 30-year law enforcement, huge background, education in mental health, and you know, somebody that you should visit his website, check out his book, and listen to him, because we all have a problem with listening. We want to command our presence. We don't want to absorb somebody else's. And you said it, John, and before we took the break, when you talk about egos and everything else, and that's kind of a double-edged sword, because from the very beginning, from day one in the academy, we're taught never show weakness, never show a sign of weakness. Right. So
correct.
We're fighting for our lives 8-12 hours a day on shift. Right. We're fighting. We're going against the worst of the worst. Then when we come home, we automatically, you know, it's drilled into us. So our spouses, our families are the enemy. They become the enemy no matter what they say, no matter what they do, because they don't know the words. They don't know how to interact with us anymore. We've got to teach the family how to interact. Got to teach the family on certain trigger words that will send you over the edge. you know, and if the departments brought the families in, brought the spouses in and said, this is what to expect. This is what you may see. This is how you guys got to take time together. You may see a decrease in suicides, in alcohol, in divorces. When I went to the academy, the first thing our instructor said when we walked in, he goes, 50% of you will be divorced by your fifth year of your career. And man, was he spot on, because 3 years into my career, my wife was gone.
Well, guess what the rate is now? It's 70.
70.
Yeah, we covered that on Friday. Yep.
Well, we'll blame that on TikTok and fans only.
Well, look, John, I mean, John Kelly has hit on so many aspects that you know, we are people coming into this job that gives us an identity for better or for worse. And the thing I love about the way the book is laid out, and we've been talking about it like it's this abstract thing, it's called Surviving Self-Inflicted Wounds, A Deputy's Life of Redemption. I'm struggling with not wearing these things.
It's okay. I feel your pain.
Surviving Self-Inflicted Wounds, A Deputy's Life of Redemption. I mean, it hits you from the get-go. So please go pick that book up. And you know, if we don't, we have armor. This is how I look at it. So we are issued body armor, okay? We've got to have body armor that has lots of different pockets, okay? And in those pockets, we are collecting from our different interactions with people, stuff that happens at homes, the stresses that we're under. And so we keep putting in the pocket till the freaking thing weighs so much. Sure. We can barely flipping move. And so again, pick up the book because it explains it perfectly. What we've got to do is we've got to learn to that heavy body armor that we wear at the job. We've got to leave it over here. When we walk into our homes with our loved ones, whether you're still living with mom and dad because you're just starting out, whatever it is, your girlfriend, spouse, significant other, and have the tough conversations, not with the gory detail, but if we can teach us how to communicate from day one in an effective way, and yeah. it's not what you see in the movies. No. We've got to have that open dialogue. We can have a successful career because our lives outside of those doors are successful as well.
Absolutely. You know, Sam, you touched on something. I've always fallen back on this. It's not a mantra, but it's a saying. If it's predictable, it's preventable, right? Yeah. So does the trash man complain that the back of the trash truck smells like shit? I mean, he's picking up people's crap all day. So he does some things to mitigate that. He knows that going into it. So we know that in law enforcement, you're called on people's worst day, right? Nobody calls because they're having a great day. And we know that over the course of your career, you're going to see and do some things that are going to jade you, that are not going to put you in the right frame of mind. So we need to start, you know, teaching, just like we teach guys how to handcuff us. Listen, we spend an inordinate amount of time teaching guys cop stuff. Things that they could do with their eyes closed, right? But the thing that causes our men and women great pain and suffering are the life issues. So, you know, how do I communicate with my spouse? In my 30 years, I never called my Nicole and told her what kind of John to expect walking through the door. Not once. And I can only imagine the times when she had not seen me for an entire day and was excited to greet me at the door and I pushed by her, what that made her feel like. Because I didn't say, hey, baby, I've got blood and shit all over me. And so I need a half hour to get cleaned up and get my head right so I can be John and not Sergeant Kelly. I need you to give me that half hour. So then when I come through the door like an ass, she's expecting me to be an ass because I just had a shitty night. And I've communicated with her effectively. This is what I need. And so she knows. She doesn't internalize it. It's not me. My husband had a tough day at work. When he decompresses, when he showers and takes that uniform off, he can be John again. Those conversations never happen. Those conversations need to happen. And like you said, we don't need to give gory details. We could just say, you know what? This is what I need. You know, I know Brianna, you know, was beating up kids in class, and I know the washing machine broke, and I know all this stuff. Give me some time to be John, and then we can talk and figure some stuff out. But we don't do that. And so we make a difficult job near impossible. And, you know, it's just, I've failed horribly in my life. I've made some huge mistakes. I've given people absolutely no reason to love me, and they continue to. And it's from almost losing everything that I think, you know, that's part of that drive and that mission moving forward is that, like, you don't need to be me. You can learn. You can get ahead of this. We can give you the skills that if you fall in the water, we'll teach you how to get out. But more importantly, we're going to try to keep you from even falling in the first place. And so I think we can do that, but that's like anything, man. It's not easy. Take an inventory. It's personal accountability. And guys don't like that. People like to point and blame other things for the reasons why they are the way they are and for the decisions that they make.
John, you also look at it this way too. There is no support from the departments. If you look at the departments who have the highest rate of suicide or alcoholism or divorce, right? You see, like Sam always says, the mental health budget is right below the paperclips.
Right.
You can almost pinpoint the departments that are doing absolutely nothing for their officers.
Right.
But you see some departments that, man, these officers are right on point, man. They're mentally healthy, they're physically healthy, they have great relationships, and the department itself, from the chief on down, you see that there's programs in place. There's availability to de-stress and decompress, right? And Conrad Weaver, man, when we spoke with him, over the thousands of officers he has spoken with, he brought up the same point. He sees these departments from the chief and the department politics that take care of their men. The men are better off. Their families are better off. Their mental health is better off.
100%, John. The only thing that I would take issue with you on that point is, so what? And this is my point, brother.
Yeah.
If I have to rely on somebody else taking action for my mental health and well-being, I'm dead. It would be nice. It would be nice if the boss gave a shit. It would be nice if there were programs in place. But in this day and age, brother, with programs like yours and programs like mine and the outreach and the social media and every way, support, peer support, everything that we've got out there to help our brothers and sisters, I don't give a shit if the chief's on board or not. Hey, I'm the sergeant. It's my squad. Guess what we're doing? Emotional debrief after yesterday's incident. And we're going to talk about feelings. And we're going to talk about maybe we need to bring some resources in. And we're going to talk about last night, I cried before I went to bed. And we, brother, at this level, at the boots on the ground level, are going to transform this thing of ours into something that it could never have been. Regardless of command, regardless of the pro, it doesn't matter who's sitting in that chair. I decide today what books I read, whether to be empathetic, how to love unconditionally, I can decide to be that guy. And if I'm waiting for somebody at the PD to give a shit about me, that's why they assigned me a badge number, John, because I am just a number. And so at the end of the day, I need to take care of me, and I need to take care of my brothers. And that's where the life coach thing comes in, is because, quite honestly, Sam and John, I'm just a big brother, man. I'm a guy who's blessed to be walking this earth. I shouldn't even be here. And the mistakes that I've made and the people that I've hurt and the things that I've uncovered, I'm sharing those experiences. So we can be self-sufficient, if you will, in a way of being able to take care of not only ourselves, but our brothers and sisters that are out there still fighting the good fight.
I agree.
And I think there's that's like a mic drop moment, because we got to take our next break. We're going silent. We'll be right back, everybody.
To the Health Engineer Show, I'm Kurt Buechle, the Health Engineer, right here on the Offbeat.
Hi, I'm Larry Corcampo.
Hi, my name is Susan Hamilton, and you're watching Offbeat. Hi, this is Doreen Milano. Welcome to Big IT Small Business, where we will talk to Terry Cargiola.
I put the short one on, New York John. I put the short one on because that was like from the heart, you know, we're talking to John Kelly, law enforcement life coach. And, you know, you share those experiences. You write about the experiences, adultery, alcoholism, your PTS, the heartbreaking story of that little baby that you saved. And I swear I started sweating reading right. that, because I wanted to do bad things to that little girl's father.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And it is ultimately, like you said, it is up to us to say, hey, me.
Yeah. And there are some great bosses out there that get it. But the fact that there aren't, that can't be the reason why we don't figure shit out.
I'm not saying it's an excuse, John, by no means. But what I'm saying is, through the stigma, right? Guys are afraid. They're afraid, and they're afraid to take that step because of how they're going to be viewed, or where I'm going to lose my gun. I'm going to lose my badge if I go see a therapist, or if I show, you know.
Yep.
So even on the outside, they'd rather just go to a bar and start drinking or do these bad things, right? Because that's it. Now that's their coping skills. It's not going to talk to somebody, because, shit, if I get caught of a therapist, they're going to take me off my cushy shift. They're going to put me behind a desk. They're going to take my gun away. They're going to treat me like this. They're going to alienate me, and my career that I love so much is going to be ruined.
You know, there's definitely that component to it, John, which keeps guys from reaching out and getting help. And one of the things that, like, I try to help guys with is, like, nobody needs to know this. Like, if you run your mouth, people are going to know.
Right.
Right.
But, like, there are so many resources out there that aren't funneled through the PD or the sheriff's office that you can get ahead of this. You can get well. You can improve your physical, mental, emotional state. And nobody needs to know about it. And this is the other thing, John and Sam. So what? Who gives a shit? Like, we have this whole, I don't want people to know. Maybe it's generational. Maybe it's changing. I know when we were coming up, you didn't say a fucking word. Listen, you lock it up.
Right.
Don't talk about, like, all you do is pound. Like, when we go to the memorial in DC, the way we pay tribute to our brothers and sisters is to get shit faced. That's great. That, what an honor. What a statement. It's shameful. And see, but we support that. And so I think what it's going to take, John and Sam, is some people that have been around the block a little bit to go, no, we're done doing that. That doesn't work. If it worked, I'd still be a drunk if it worked. All right. And so we know it doesn't. And we know that Boss is not supporting people getting mental health, keeps the rank and file from ever raising their hand. We know what good leadership looks like. We know what poor leadership, the impact that it has on people. But I truly believe, like you said, it's got to be like a grassroots movement with the rank and file. You know, before I go off on another tangent and get really pissed, you know,
we did not bring you on the podcast to get you pissed.
No, I mean in a good way. You guys are awesome.
Venting is good. Venting is good.
But the problem, John and Sam, is we shit on each other. See, we want the citizens and society to support us, but we won't even support each other. We've got it ass backwards. So, you know, this whole, you know, we truly need to get our house in order before we worry about support from the out. Listen, I don't give a shit if this community supports me or not. Have your buddies back. Let's start with something that we have control over, which is how we treat each other and how we interact with each other. Let's take care of that. And then wouldn't you know that once we start taking care of each other, we'll take care of the community. That relationship's going to be phenomenal. And so, you know, we've kind of lost our way when it comes to that. You know, we care as administrations, we care more about building trust in the community than we do building trust within our own ranks. And yes. So, you know, you want to fix the problem, take care of your own house first before you start going out there and trying to be the saviors of the world. And so, I don't know. I just went off on a tangent there.
And it was good because John and I have talked to other guests about this as well, is that, you know, we've got this thing that we ride on, which is the thin blue line, right? We all identify this.
Yeah.
With this. And when, if you say you're on the line, your actions demonstrate you're on it. You have your partner's back. You have somebody who's not even your partner's back because they wear the same uniform as you do.
I don't have to know you.
Right.
To care about you. I've never met either one of you. You call me, you tell me you need me, I'm there.
Yeah.
That's what this thing is supposed to be about. It's not a bumper sticker. It's not some bullshit tattoo that you get on your ass. It's about caring for our brothers and sisters, truly caring.
Well, here's the flip side of that too, John. You were in Boston, you said?
I'm a Boston kid. I was a cop in South Florida.
What gave that away? What Boston? How you had to guess that?
You were picking up my Southern draw. Yeah, I know. So
here, like in New York, back in the 90s, we were two men patrol.
Right.
Right? So we're in a car with a partner. We can bullshit and vent, and we were venting inside the car how much we hated the world and hated the job and everything else, but we did our job. Today, you have a lot of single patrols. So these officers get in their car, and they're alone.
Yeah.
After a burglary, after a gunfight, after they're sitting there by themselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
They got no one to vent to. Now they're going to the next job.
There's a lot of that. And
I don't know what did you have? Were you solo patrol or
solo, John? Yep. But this is the thing again, guys, coming from people that should know better now that. We would pack everywhere we would go. We would pack. We would wolf pack, and we would if bad guys were running four or five deep, we were running four or five deep. And so, you know, we would, even though we were in our own cars, we would go car to car. We would, you know, end up going out after the incident or the event and breaking bread and trying to figure some stuff out. But you're right. Having a partner there with you, I think it's that immediate support sitting there right next to you.
New York, and I'm bringing up New York because I've seen what they've done to the city. When you say you run in a pack, right? Now, because of this woke stuff and all these political stuff, even foot cops are not allowed to congregate.
Yeah,
they will be in trouble. They will be in trouble if they congregate. So you got, you know, two foot cops on a beat. They're not even allowed to stay. They got to be like 20 feet apart. They can't congregate in a pack anymore. Right. They're segregating cops from cops.
John, you'd love this. I was a motor sergeant of a 50-man motor unit, and I had a city. I had 9 guys directly under me in the city, and we would go to breakfast every day as a unit, or lunch every day as a unit, or we'd have Cuban coffee in the motor barn every. We would break bread, and other commands bosses would see 7 or 8 motorcycles parked out in front of a bagel place or a coffee shop, and they'd lose their minds. And I go, I'm building a team. We're having our debrief here. We're building team. We're breaking bread. I'm strengthening the bond. And I told my command that. They were like, no, John's working the way John wants to run his squad. And we'd give them the numbers they wanted. We'd work. We'd get involved. We did all the parades and all that nonsense. But there's something to be said for building camaraderie and breaking bread together and sharing a cup of coffee together. There's something, I think, very therapeutic and supportive that comes with creating that environment. And you're right. Nowadays, with manpower issues and everybody spread so thin, it's hard to build those bonds, I would imagine.
Yeah, we definitely got to support each other. Hey, we got to take our last break. We will be right back. Stay tuned, everybody.
Hi, welcome to Heroes in Action. I'm Ray Amanat, founder and creator of this training system. I originally made it so that everyone can train for free. We have programs for kids, for women, families, and businesses. I'm an author, speaker, and educator on everything that has to do with violence and bullying prevention education. If you'd like more information about who we are and what our programs are, please go to our website at heroesinaction.us or give me a call if you have any questions at 727-314-2534. We hope to see you here to train.
Hey, welcome back to a Badge of Honor podcast with John and Sam and our guest, John Kelly, mental health life coach, who spent 30 years in law enforcement and, coming out of it, he's out there to help and make a difference to our brothers and sisters that are struggling or may struggle. So you're bringing a lot of good stuff to the table through your experience, not only on the job, but in life itself. You've been there. You've done that. You got the gold donut, the whole bit. And, your points, your website, everything is, it's easy to navigate. It's easy to listen to, and it's easy to comprehend. And, it's like that Geico commercial. Yeah. Even a caveman could understand it. Well, if you listen to John Kelly, even a cop with 20 years could understand it.
Hey, listen, so, I know my audience, man. I know my audience.
Yeah, I just put John's website up on the screen for everybody listening on your favorite podcast app. It is lawenforcementcoaching.com, and you can go on there. Amazing stuff.
Lawenforcementlifecoach.com.
Oh, sorry, I got to go
okay.
up correct.
Put your glasses back on, Sam. You're killing me.
Lawenforcementlifecoach.com.
Lawenforcementlifecoach.com. That's awesome.
And I'll take that off.
You're killing me.
And awesome. lawenforcementlifecoach.com. Sorry about that.
No worries.
We haven't even talked about the course that that you give. We have to have you back on if
I'd love to be back on. That would be awesome. You guys are great.
Because what I think would be great is for people to hear, you've got the book, you've got the course. To really get into it, and again, you can get the snippets of it, lawenforcementlifecoach.com. But where do you spend most of your time, John Kelly, so people can connect with you?
I'm on LinkedIn quite a bit. I spent an entire career staying off of social media and then found out the day I retired, if you're going to start a business and help people, you need to be on it. So I'm on Facebook. I'm on Instagram. But I do quite a bit of posting and work on LinkedIn,
And you have a podcast.
Have a podcast that I run, Law Enforcement Life Coach, Sometimes Heroes Need Help podcast. And second season. Look at me, second season. Yeah. I'll call it second season. I love talking to people that have different life experiences and have done different things. And I've been blessed. I've had some pretty interesting folks, you know, Dave Grossman and a few other folks, just interesting people that are giving back to the community, and they've got different takes on things. And I enjoy sitting down and being a sponge, you know, just absorbing that information and knowledge that they have. So yeah, I stay busy with that as well.
The journey, once we go through shit, the journey is, okay, let's get out of it and let's keep learning.
Yeah.
Let's share. Let's let other people know they're not alone.
This is the neat thing, guys. This is a great, I mean, the people that you've come in contact with since you've been doing this, I mean, it's just pretty phenomenal, isn't it?
It's amazing. It's amazing. Paths cross for a reason. And, you know, and you see it down the road. The things that are accomplished through these podcasts, through your podcast, through social media and sharing and being open and transparent and everything else. People listen, and it may not be a big crowd, but it's one or two, and that's all that matters. You know, if you can get through to one person, we'll get through to another person and just share it.
John,
and that's what it's all about.
That's the goal. You know, when I speak, you know, I've been fortunate. I've had some pretty big rooms. And the goal is the same. I just want you to walk away with one thing that you can implement immediately, that's sustainable, that adds value to your life, that makes you better for hearing it than not. And if I can accomplish that, man, it's a win. It's a win.
That's awesome. That is awesome. Well, this was a huge win. And like I said, we got to have you back on so we can dive into your program and the book. So, John, thank you so much for your time. As always, this hour flies by, and I mean, wealth of knowledge. Folks, go out and get the book, but go on to the website lawenforcementlifecoach.com, and you can see the book, you can see the course. Get connected with John. You got the podcast up on LinkedIn. We're on LinkedIn. This is live on LinkedIn right now, so it's coming full circle. So thank you so much.
You guys have been great. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Where in Florida are you, John?
I was in Broward, just north of Miami. That's where I worked. But I am now, I've retired and I've moved up to just south of St. Augustine. It's called Palm Coast.
Oh, okay. Are you safe from the hurricane that's coming, or?
Listen, it's a slow news cycle. So everyone is going to die, apparently, in this cone of death. But, you know, I'm sure come tomorrow and Wednesday, we'll have a little more information. But we're going to get wet, probably. You know, that's how it goes.
Stay safe,
and hopefully it's just rain. We'll keep it in our thoughts and prayers.
No cone of death.
No. Take care.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Take care, John.
Okay, yes, we're not talking about cones of death. That's not a good way to end the podcast. But in all seriousness, hey, if you're listening from Florida, because we got listeners from all across the globe, you know, be safe down there. And, you know, we've got partners doing some amazing things coming up next. Well, it's almost next month because it's almost September, but October 6th, Carry the Load. If you guys have not heard of Carry the Load, go to carrytheload.org. They've got a sporting clay shoot in the DFW area that you can go ahead and register for. And we are continuum of care partners with Carry the Load. So what that means is the money, some of the money raised comes back to us in their big Memorial May, which happens around Memorial Day, that whole weekend, comes back to us so that we can continue to offer the services that Carry the Load expects in terms of mental health for everybody that they're partnered with. And that's exactly what we do. We just told you about Friday. Wounded Blue, Randy Sutton. Hey, he's out in Vegas, and they have got their survival summit coming up, and that is September 26th through the 29th. So go to woundedblue.org. You can grab tickets, and I think they had some hotel rooms on super sale, but that's first come, first serve. So if you want to go out there go out there. For everybody who continues to tune in every week, thank you so much for your support. If you like what we do, subscribe. Follow us across all the social media that's out there. We are the newest on the gram. So thank you, everybody who's connecting with us over on Instagram. And if you haven't checked out Rumble TV yet, we've got our Rumble TV channel. Thank you, OBBM Network, for setting that up. Because a lot of folks are like, they're hitting that Rumble because we're allowed to do stuff and we don't have to, you know, we can just say it.
We're free.
We're free. And that's because of like veterans who fought, who continue to stand up for us. And thank you for doing that so we can do this every week. For all of our active duty personnel serving around the world, thank you for keeping our shores safe. And hey, first responders, there isn't a day that goes by that we don't think about you. We are praying for you. We have our hearts, even though we're retired, we're out of service. Our hearts aren't void of service. We are with you. We are standing on that line with you, no matter what color line you are on. We are all connected. So stay in the fight, keep up the good fight. And remember, don't wait for somebody to like give you permission to go do something or have something written in a rule. You need help, ask for help. You want to know something, ask for it. You want to see something in your department, ask for it. Sometimes leadership's got to come bottom up because we can't rely on it always to come top down. Thank you, John Kelly, for those words of wisdom. John, take us home.
Well, you know what? On the life coach thing, man, life is too short to stress and have these mental weights on us from a job. Look at it as, hey, you know what? We have to live our own life, and we want to live it happy. Visit John Kelly's website and become mentally happy. Peace.
Till next week, everybody. Take care.
A Badge of Honor podcast is produced for the OBBM Network podcast and protected under copyright law. For content permissions, please submit your request to abadgeofhonor.com on the content page. For OBBM Network programming information, please call 214-714-0495 today.